We're going to wrap up our media availabilities today with our race winner, Brandon Jones. Congratulations. Can you just talk to us a little bit today about how your race went?
Yeah, what a crazy event this was. I knew this was coming, you know, at some point. I've been telling everyone in the media and even my guys that they knew it, but that we just had a lot of momentum these last couple weeks. And I thought last week was a chance to do this same thing, right? I thought I had a couple of shots to get a win last week and ended up making a decision that just kind of got me taken out of the whole deal and the whole situation about taking the top. And there's a lot of discussion of where I needed to be last week. And so it was nice to come off of a day where we thought we were going to win last week, and we ended up, mid-20s, right? That's kind of tough to swallow. And come here, fully reset the mind, the whole team reset, and people just locked in today on our group. I mean, I know we have the baddest pit crew on pit road by far. And every time we come down pit road, we're gaining or maintaining spots, and that's the way to win these races. It really is. If you come down pit road and you lose five spots every time, there's pretty much no hope, you know. And so this has been really, really fun to watch these guys go to work and enjoy what they do and watch their passion for trying to be the best and to try to outperform everybody. It just collectively today as a whole was a group effort. I did my job as well on that restart at the end. I think that the whole key, I was actually worried a little bit about it because I knew the older tires with the other cars in front of us, and I kind of knew that, I'm like, man, I've seen this play out once or twice before where this can go south in a hurry. You know, guys spin the tires really bad. You got the guy behind you breathing down your neck, pushing you into the other guy. It just could get – it could get ugly quick when you have older tires like that on the front row. But it actually worked out exactly how I wanted it to work out. I did not want to try to go bottom of three wide into one. I don't think that's a smart move, and I don't think that's a great place to put yourself in as – I wanted the 27 to kind of get out front like he did so I could kind of race through the bottom lane and get enough momentum off of turn two to be able then to efficiently get by the 27 and kind of set sail there. And I need to go back and watch it. I haven't even seen the replays, but I wanted the 17 to kind of get, you know, trapped behind those guys a little bit. You know, it was my idea was try to position him back there a little bit. Maybe the 9 was back there too, a couple of those guys. I just wanted them to get trapped a few laps so that I could open my lead up and try to get gone. And there was a lot of discussion between myself and Sam McCauley at the end of what the right adjustment was for a 10 lap shootout like that. You know, what do we need on the short run to be better, because I thought our long run pace was really good, but today it just seemed like our short run speed was just off just a little bit. You know, I think a lot of it had to do with how difficult the top lane on restarts was today. Ton of wheel spin all day in that top lane, but it's kind of the preferred groove once you get to one and two. You know, you really want to be on the outside for momentum down the backstretch leading into turn two. So kind of some trade-off there, but very fortunate to have an extremely good pit crew and get us in a great position. And everyone executed. There's tons of hours that went into this today and every single weekend, honestly. There's multiple times where I don't get out of my simulator until midnight sometimes, right? I'm dog tired and just trying to learn as much as I can, watch as much film as I can, and I continue to add to a big long notebook that I have, and today will be another good one to sit down and jot some stuff down from a win like this.
Awesome. Well, congratulations. We'll go ahead and open up for questions. If you have one, please raise your hand. We'll start down here with Holly, then we'll go to John and Jacob.
Congratulations. Holly Kane with the NASCAR Wire Service. A lot of people came up and congratulated you. I think this was a popular win in the garage. How did you, or what did you do to kind of keep yourself up over the last couple of years when you had so many win near misses or whatever? It would, for anyone, it would be frustrating. But what did you do to kind of keep yourself up and motivated and feeling like I can do this?
Yeah, I know for a fact, if you've never been in that situation, that it's hard to explain the mental aspect of it, you know, and it's very difficult to have, you know, good self-talk after a couple of years of just not winning races. You know, I think there was some performances that were like, oh, a couple of things here and there would have went right. We could have won, right? And it just seemed like it never would line up. There was days that I was barely off, and there was days that I was really on and just never could ever put it all together. And so, you know, I've got trust me, I've got a lot of people, you know, behind closed doors that help me out with that aspect of this sport. I think that's the probably number one most overlooked aspect of motorsports is the mental side of it, and how you can go through some tough years to then completely switch gears, believe in what you're doing, and know that, you know, you're on the right path. It just has to all work out. And today was another, you know, no difference in the mental aspect, in the mental gain. It was extremely hot race. And you got a couple of the best people in the Cup Series right now breathing down your neck. And so I've seen it time and time again, that you get out front, you build that big gap, somebody spins, somebody hits the wall, they throw a yellow, and now you got to restart again. And I just kept telling myself, I'm like, I have this feeling. I'm like, it's going to work out. It's going to work out. There's not going to be a yellow flag. Just keep hitting your pace and your marks. And I really wasn't pushing the car really to its fullest at the end either. I was trying to just give up a little bit and back off just in case something were to happen and save the tire a little bit. But I don't know. It just felt right today. It felt like once I got the lead and I looked up maybe in the mirror once or twice, you know, to kind of see the gap that I had built. And I'm like, well, like I just can't hit the fence at this point, and I'm going to be good, you know? So yeah, this whole sport's definitely a huge mental game. And there's not just how you mentally control the bad times. There's a lot of mental games on getting in people's heads and faking them into making moves you want them to make, you know, and so many little things that you just have to learn over time. That's where you see the very best prevail. You see the very best come down to the Xfinity level and the truck level and just dominate. It's not because – it is because they're really good racers, but it's also because they've mastered all these little things. They've mastered the mental side, the physical side, and you just see that many years kind of come into experience.
We'll come right here to John.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. So when I sat down with you over the offseason, you said – this year, you know, betting on yourself, trying to, you know, showing that you can win before examining the future of your career. How have the first few, you know, I guess few weeks, few months been kind of overcome with those early issues and then, you know, finally getting back to victory lane? Were you burning up the phone of the guy in London that you work with?
No, not really. You know, the beginning, I think, was more about, just me and Sam McCauley getting on the right page. And he came off of two, you know, a really good season with Sheldon. They had like the most seconds I've ever seen in the Xfinity series before. And so he was knocking out the door multiple times, but Sheldon drives way different than I do. And so I think we showed up a couple of times with certain things that Sheldon had that just doesn't really work for my driving style. And instead of just saying, well, this has worked in the past, we're just going to keep doing this, you know, he really has bought into, you know, what I do inside the car to make it fast and, you know, in my driving style. And last probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks, like we've really kind of started to make the right adjustments and right changes and starting to show up to the track, unloading with a little bit more speed as well overall. And so I have seen the shift a little bit. I think if you're not on the 20 team, it'd be hard to see it because it's little things here and there that, you know, maybe just the person that's looking at the overview of it wouldn't have picked out. But I know for myself, every time we come, it's like, oh, it's getting a little bit better now. Now we're unloading a little faster. Now we're making the right adjustments over time. And so it's just taken those couple of races, right, to kind of get through. And the way that the season starts, it's so tough. It can go, you know, two ways. It can go, you know, you can luck out and end up in really good situations with those two first races, or you can kind of be at the mercy of other people's mistakes and get taken out. And that's kind of, you know, what we've had here to kind of get going for the first at least three or so. And so, yeah, it's good. I know that we're in a stretch right now of races that and tracks that are really good for us. I think starting from Martinsville, I don't even know, looking way ahead, there's some really good stuff coming up. Bristol's going to be another one that they're going to have to deal with me there. So, yeah, it's just we're in a stretch right now, really good racetracks. This is huge confidence, I know, for this whole team, and confidence and momentum is everything.
We'll come right here to Jacob, and then go right next to him, and then to Trenton.
Jacob Zimmerman, Race Face Digital. Brandon, two for you. First, obviously, you're not immune, and I don't think you've really hidden from any of the chatter either, and even from yourself the last couple of years of not getting to victory lane. How sweet is it to come not just in a field with Cup guys in it, but to a track where you really have to make the difference to be able to win here? You don't luck into a Darlington win and have this be the place that you go back to victory lane.
Yeah, there was no luck today, man. Absolutely. I think that's what makes this one just nice, because there has been some races, who cares how you get it done, right? But there has been some races that have fallen in my lap, and we take those for sure. We'll always take those. But to just drive by people, to be the car that everyone's chasing has to beat, that feels pretty good. That hasn't happened in a while. And so, yeah, it's, you know, I don't do this to prove people wrong or anything. It's for me, it's nice, but for me, I think that it's cool that it's just a team sport, and it's not just the amount of work I've put into this whole thing. There's so many people that not even, you know, there's so many people excluding just the crew guys that, you know, put a lot of effort into making sure I'm at the top of my game and to make sure that I'm studying the right things and looking at all the right stuff. And, you know, there's people that go through this with me. It's not just, you know, not just me behind closed doors. There's a lot of guys that, I credit. Blake Cook's one of them. Trevor Bain's one of them. They're a huge part to why I show up prepared every single weekend and ready to do exactly what we did today. And so it's one, I think it's nice to see that we're doing the right things. You know, sometimes you don't question it, but sometimes you wonder, like, do we need to change some stuff? Do we need to alter our prep packages, the way that we're going through simulators? And it's right now it seems like, okay, if you just put it all together, I think we're going to be really close. And Blake put it really well into perspective for me. He said right now he thought that our average to mid days are 5th to 7th, and so when we put a day together, you're going to win the race. And we put a day together, you know, and won the race. Pit crew was freaking flawless. You know, they very rarely miss a beat. If they do, we just maintain. And so there's just so many things, like I said, that kind of just go into making this whole situation happen. Even from the fact of Menards staying with us, right? Two kind of tough years. I wanted to get them in victory lane really, really bad and get them back to where they deserve to be and get them back in the winning mindset. And so, yeah, there's just a lot to the puzzle that's nice.
And I know you came to JGR right after he left, but you had the Matt Kenseth throwback scheme today, and this was kind of that kind of day. You weren't the dominant car, but kind of, you know, last 40 laps, there you are. Were you channeling a little of Matt there in those final 30-40 laps?
Man, maybe I was. You know, I know Matt meant a lot to Joe Gibbs Racing. I know he had a lot of success at Joe Gibbs Racing. I didn't really ever get to know Matt very much. I raced with the son, Ross, a little bit, and super late models and things, and so I got to know him a little bit, but just was cool that yeah, it was in the 20 car. He had the 20 car. You know, I think that the color scheme worked out properly for Menards. I think all that stuff turned out really cool. And I think what's also awesome is there's not even a scratch on the right side of that thing. So, yeah, we kept it pristine till the end. But, yeah, what a fun paint scheme to be able to represent. The first time I did this, it was also a really cool paint scheme. So I've had some epic throwback paint schemes and have won in some really cool stuff over the years.
Scotty Sprinkle, Race Face Digital. For some reason, here at Darlington in Kansas, you just seem to be on another level. This is your second win here. You got one pole here. Kansas, 2 wins, 2 poles. What specifically about Darlington do you feel like just fits your style? And are there similarities between here and Kansas that you feel like make you good at both tracks?
They're definitely different. You know, definitely different racetracks. I don't know why my driving style fits both of those, because they are very different from just a whole line aspect, the way you race it. But yeah, I mean, Kansas is certainly circled, you know, another one on my list of tracks that we could go dominate at. This place is kind of car dependent as well. I've been here miserable, you know, times where it's like, you just can't figure it out. You cannot find speed no matter what you do, you know, wherever you search, you just can't ever find the grip. And today, and the times that I've won here, it's like, oh, you start to find like all these little pockets of grip, and you're really in tune with the car. I think that's probably the biggest difference of winning a race here and not winning a race, is you feel very in tune with what the track's giving you and what the car is giving you feedback wise. And the days that you don't do good here, it just seems like you just can't do anything right. You know, you're constantly missing the corners, you're constantly blowing through the tires. And so, yeah, I think I'm good at tire management for one. It's something that we all probably grew up doing, super racing and things of that aspect. But when you get to the NASCAR circuit, it kind of goes out the window, especially with our stage brakes and stage races. You just run the heck out of the tire until it, you know, it falls off, because it's just all about track position. And so I think that this place provides a combination of both of those things. You have to be extremely aggressive on restarts because the grip level is so high, but then eventually, right, 3 seconds or so of fall off, you're crying for tires and you want rear grip back. So, yeah, you have to be able to manage that throughout an entire run and know, especially at the end, right? Like I was, just in case some fluke caution or something came out, I was trying to back off a little bit actually at the end. I know I was probably pulling away, but I was trying to give a little bit back just to make sure I had some in the tank, you know, in case we needed to kind of have a 10-lap, older tire restart towards the end. But, yeah, just knowing the knowledge, I think, of that. I think this is a track for a rookie. You know, if they came here for the first time, it's extremely intimidating. You get off in the corner, you don't know where to run. You don't know if you need to be bottom, middle, top. You know, you're questioning every lap of what the right lane is, how to get into the corner. And I think every single one of those lanes requires a different driving technique and different style. And so just kind of moving around all day and trying to figure out what fits your style the best is what separates probably the best from the average at this track.
We're going to go to Trenton, then to Eddie, and then right next to him.
Trenton Warsham with French-Dash.com. Brandon, this is your first win in a long time, your first since being back with JGR. I guess perseverance is the way to define this win. With what you've been through over the past couple of years, where have you been mentally and where have you gotten the motivation from to keep going and keep putting your head down, going to work to grind this out, to get back to victory lane?
Yeah, it's because everybody believes in me. It's infectious, right? I can feel that. Show up to the track. I have no doubt that my crew chief sitting on top of that box, he thinks I am 100% the best driver in the field. My pit crew thinks I'm the best driver in the field. My coaches think I'm the best driver in the field. Like, all of that, right? It's just fuel in the fire to kind of go forward. And then when you couple that with fast race cars, and, you know, my mindset is I think they're all the best, right? So we're doing this whole big bounce around session right now of no, you're the best. No, you're the best, right? And it's no one saying I'm the best. It's everyone's lifting each other up and pumping each other up. Before we go out of the race, we've got, you know, pump up music playing in the hauler. We've got all kinds of stuff going on. I want to go back to that mental aspect, right? Like, you got to walk out of that truck and that hauler to, you know, think like, all right, I'm the best here. Some days it doesn't work out. You know, some days you make mistakes or you'll have situations that take you out. You couldn't help, but every single weekend it's a reset. It's all right, this is a new track, new opportunity. No one better to go do it with. So, yeah, we're all just hitting right now as a group. I think that's where I've always been at my best in my career is when I have a team like this around me that truly is bought in and believes that, you know, everybody can get it done. we let it ride. There's some stuff that probably needs to stay with the closed doors, but hey, whatever it takes to get it done.
All right, we've got two questions from the guys in the back, and then we'll wrap up here with Lee.
Hey, Brandon, Eddie Kalegi, Motorsports Today. Congrats on the win. Obviously, snapping a winless drought is huge, but I feel especially significant for you two going up against three really good cup drivers in this field, too. What did it mean for you to be able to beat Chase Elliott, Christopher Bell, Ross Chastain, three guys who were really relevant all day, and, of course, compete at the top level, too?
Yeah, I mean, golly, you got to I think everyone I've beat here, right? Like today, it was the three names you named. The first race, it was Chastain again, and then it was Denny. Like, talking about the best to come to Darlington. I think of Denny and C-Bell and Chase, for all that matter, right? Like, those are your top cup racers that know how to get it done around this track. So, yeah, I saw the 17 had, you know, a decent amount of damage. I wasn't too worried about that. This place is pretty aerosensitive. It's pretty hard if you have some damage like that. I've seen it happen. I've seen Larson be able to make it work. But there's people that it's hard, you know, when you have some issues like that. And so I kind of noticed that, and I kind of excluded him from being able to win the race. But, you know, guys like the 19 and a couple of them, like I was thinking they were going to be tough to beat. But my only hope was to try to get them pinned behind those guys with older tires for just a little bit. A lap or two is all I really needed to kind of get going, because I think clean air means so much. I kept my car extremely clean all day. There really wasn't a scratch on it, so I knew my balance and my aero effect was going to be really good. So, yeah, if I could ever just get out front and get going and have laps like that, I needed the laps at the end. I think that was very crucial, like that, to have the race go green and not have a restart where you get put in a bad situation or a bad spot and lose the race like that. I think that was the best-case scenario for us.
Tim Moore Motorsports today. Congrats on the win, Brandon. Obviously, you haven't had a lot of time to let it sink in yet, but big picture, you guys are now going to be going playoff racing. How huge is that for you, and how much does that mean for you as long as things continue to work out?
Yeah, I think next step is we did a great job today, but we've got to start getting ourselves more stage points. You know, we've got to start doing better in stages, which I think these last couple weeks have been really promising, been really nice. Martinsville is one of them that I thought, like, okay, like, we're holding track position well, we're getting it on pit stops, and then we're also holding it. I think that's the key, right, is you've got the pit crew that's awesome, so take advantage of them, but also being able to not fall three or four spots on a restart back, you know, try to maintain, if not go forward a little bit on restarts. And so that's our next little chunk now that we're locked in. Let's get a gap opened up here and try to start getting stage points again, try to keep our track position up a little bit higher throughout the whole race. I think today couldn't have gone much better. I mean, we stayed in the top four, I think, the entire day for the most part, right? So at least out of the cars that were going to be competitive anyways. So, I think that's our next little bit. But, we don't have to worry about some of the tougher tracks. I know there's some tracks on the schedule that still we can go have really good days at. We can go win way more of these races at certain tracks. But there's also road courses and certain things that come up that, like, golly, you just don't know, right? You don't know how they're going to go. So it's nice to kind of get that locked in.
We'll come down here to Lee, and we will take our final question from Chris Dite.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. Everybody said how much you've gone to work, and your wife even said you'll be back in the gym tomorrow. What does your workout routine look like, and how much have you stepped it up from your days at JRM?
Yeah, I've done a lot of different – it's interesting. I've done a lot of different programs over the years. I have bought into the Chevy stuff before. I've bought into the Toyota stuff before. And I always just default to kind of what I like. I don't do, you know, crazy long runs or any big massive cardio work. It's all very high intensity strength training that I have found to enjoy. I just make everything, for lack of better terms, just suck. You know, like, I just want it to be miserable. I want the room to be hot. I want to get in the cold plunge after 36 degrees and make that miserable, because today, sitting in a car that's 130 degrees, it's not fun, right? It's miserable in there. But to be able to kind of work through that stuff all week long, if you're putting your body through taxing, difficult things all day, every day, eventually your mind's gonna be like, this guy is not giving up. He doesn't quit, right? And so your mind just gives into the thought of kind of being uncomfortable. You know, I think that the saying should be comfortable with being uncomfortable, right? So I've tailored my life to that a little bit as best as I can. It's tough because I think that it's what makes the losing so difficult, is because it's like you're going through hell and you're not getting it done. And so it's that aspect of just staying on the course, knowing that eventually this is going to play out a little bit. But that's kind of how I've lived my life over the past, I guess, really couple of years, right? And now I've found different workout plans, different things here and there that I've altered slightly and different stuff, but for the most part, that's how I've been doing it for the past few years.
And you mentioned Sam McCauley and him getting his first win. Does it help you to have somebody who is young like yourself on the box to have that kind of youthful energy?
Yeah I think so. Sam's pretty quiet, but it's funny when he opens up, he gets pretty pumped. I mean, we've had a lot of races here these last couple weeks where lots of pump up from him on the pit box, and it's cool to see him get so fired up, so passionate about everything. But yeah, we relate really well together. I think that it was a great matchup. I didn't know Sam at all coming into this year, really. I mean, we got together towards the end of last year, I think, once everything kind of settled down, and once the year ended, we definitely jumped on that quick. I know better than not to wait, you know. And so we got on that really fast. I think we both have the same belief systems. I think that, you know, everything that we do, he's an extremely hard worker. He came from the Chris Gayheart alumni program, basically, of being on the Cup side with Denny and working alongside of Gayheart. And that's one thing that, you know, I've always thought, I wish that's one area I could go back in time a little bit. I probably, as a racer, that was my first intro to really a good Xfinity car, and quite didn't take advantage of Gayheart. Didn't know how to take advantage of him. I had him as a crew chief for a season and just wasn't quite there as a driver, I don't think. You know, I just didn't know how to prepare, how to study. And Chris was ready to move on to the Cup level, honestly, by that time anyways. He was really one more year and we knew he was moving up and making the move to go to the Cup side. So it's refreshing because I think it's almost like having Chris back a little bit, but even a more relatable version since he's closer in age, closer in just everything for me. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to see that kind of come back full circle.
Yeah.
And we'll wrap with Chris.
ChrisMankatchfence.com. Brandon, obviously getting the win was important today, but what's it going to take to make this 20-team championship four worthy by the time we get to Phoenix in November?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of races left. You know, definitely a lot of racing left. There's great tracks in that first round of playoffs that we can continue to capitalize on, but just got to keep showing up every week. I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but I think, you know, we've got to not let this make us complacent, right? Like, I don't think that having this win, it's not like, okay, we did it, now we can relax. No, like you, someone said out here, right, tomorrow's a workout for me. Tomorrow's go ahead and start looking at Bristol. Let's get ready for the next week. And so we'll enjoy it today, but we got to flip gears quick. And so it's got to be like that every single week, regardless of a good race or a bad race. You take the notes of what you thought you did good, what you thought you did bad, and how you can improve coming back, and then get ready for the next one.
Have you talked to Joe Gibson? What did he say to you?
Yeah, I spoke to Joe on the phone in Victory Lane. He was too excited to hardly say anything, I think. That's one thing that, you know, from Joe, I've always felt that he believed in me, which feels really good to have somebody of his stature kind of trust in myself, believe in me. You know, we came off of, like I've mentioned multiple times, came off a couple of years where we just never fully got it done and got in victory lane. So, man, to him kind of open his arms up and say, we got a spot for you if you can make it back and make it work. And yeah, I'm glad he believed and trusted in us, and to get it done for him. I'm sure we're going to get some more for Joe.
All right, Brandon, thank you for your time. Congratulations. Enjoy the win.
Thanks, everyone.